As I was finding, what shall I share this morning when I have three very different, distinctively different passages to choose from? And this morning I have chosen the passage from the book of Romans. And I've titled my sharing, Be a Bringer. Be a Bringer. Well, let's talk about this, how to be a bringer. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says, Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. We are talking about the new Israelites. When the Gentiles were brought into the fold to be part of God's kingdom. As Paul says, should not our own hearts feel what Paul feels? Should we not grieve over the misery of the lost? Should we not look upon the people at our workplaces or homes with a mixture of sorrow for their conditions and longing for them to know Jesus? God says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 32, it says, I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. So turn and live. God does not desire people to be lost, but rather to live and to have eternal life. Also in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, it says, Jesus wept for Jerusalem. Jesus felt for the people. Jesus felt for the lost who did not hear the gospel of Christ. I think most of us, if not all, wants to have a heart just like Paul for those who are lost. Jesus likewise too. Then Paul, in today's passage in the book of Romans, gives us a few steps to follow in that process of how we may reach out to the lost. There is the calling for each and every one of us, and it is also the calling for our church. Back to the passage in verse 14, it says, How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Why does Paul put out these five steps in reverse order? Reverse order. It is what I would call reverse engineering. Reverse engineering. Now, after the Second World War, the nation of Japan, they surrender. So they had to do very quickly to how they can improve the economy and the nation. The Japanese did a lot of reverse engineering. They took apart what other people had made, and they find out how it's done, and they improve on it, and therefore they came out better products. And that's how the Japanese has been very successful in reverse engineering. And these days, we do enjoy some of the fantastic products that the Japanese have. That was their process. That's how they got to be successful. Reverse engineering is the process of deconstructing a device or system in order to analyze its design and function. Reverse engineer does not start with what you want or need. It begins with the finished products and work backward. A helpful process to improve. Paul reverse engineer the concept of salvation. He showed today in his writing how salvation works. Paul presented first 5 steps and follow another 3 stages. This total of 7 stages on salvation. The first 4 stages, which I have just read out earlier, are things that believers do. Believers do. You and I need to go and do this first 4 stages. In other words, caring, praying, going, and speaking. Then the last 3 are the things that unbelievers do to become believers. That is, hearing, believing, and calling. Let us go through some of all these steps. God chooses to give us freedom, victory, and success in ways opposite to what the world offers and may seem even natural to us. It is the paradox of the gospel. Up is down, left is right, wrong is right, gaining is losing, last is first, and living is dying. These phrases that we are familiar with if we read through the scriptures. So let's take this reverse order today from the way Paul mentioned in verses 14 and 15 and so on. The reverse order then, it says, a preacher, a proclaimer, and that is you and I, the believers, must be sent, must go out, must reach out. Then the sent preacher, you and I, must preach the good news. The preached good news must be heard by others and people. And the heard good news must be believed. And the belief must be the kind that calls on God for salvation. That's the reverse engineering. That is the 5-step working in some way from the end product, which is salvation. And then for us to be the sent people. Sending, preaching, hearing, believing, calling on God. These are the 5 steps of coming into salvation. But then Paul in verse 17 adds something a bit more specific. As I mentioned, it is more for the unbelievers to become believers. Paul repeats 3 of the 5 steps. To salvation and makes one of them more explicit. He says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So we have 3 steps repeated: believing, hearing, and preaching. Is the words of Romans chapter 10 also? It there it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So there it is again, confessing, believing, and then be saved. Why is it so important to share the good news? I believe that is our task, our calling for every believer as well as for churches. Because people are made in God's image. Never forget their plight that we are very familiar with in John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his sons so that they will not perish but have eternal life." That's the plight of people who are not believers and not knowing Jesus. Then, in verse 18, shortly after the John 3:16 that you and I are very familiar with, quite often we don't always quote verse 18 because it may not sound as nice as for the first verse. But in verse 18 it says, "Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." It is easy to quote John 3:16, but may not be so easy to quote John 3:18. But the two comes together and works together. Believe, save. Not believe, condemned. So we need to keep before us this reality of why it is so important and so urgent to spread the good news, to tell people of the good news of Jesus. Think of the joy that you would have in knowing that a sinner has repented and turned to Christ through our prayers, our witnessing, and how the Holy Spirit worked through us to gain that person to Christ. Jesus says so in Luke chapter 15. "There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents." God delights sinners and the lost to come to faith and to know Jesus. I have heard this statement somewhere. I have no idea where I heard it from. But it says, "The biggest failure in sharing the gospel is a failure to share the gospel." Does that make sense? The biggest failure in sharing the gospel is a failure to share the gospel. Can't put it in any other better way. So let us not be afraid to share the gospel. Let us not be afraid to share. Remember, we are the sent people. We are the believers who receive God's grace. And therefore, we need to go and proclaim the good news. And that's why I said this morning earlier, let us be the bringer of good news. The people that God sent out there to share the good news of Christ Jesus. And the scripture tells us the bringer of good news are precious and beautiful. So precious that we see even their soiled and bloody feet as beautiful. That's what the scripture says. The feet of those who bring the good news are beautiful, even though they may be soiled or bloody. Beautiful feet are not soft, manicured, painted, well-tanned feet. Beautiful feet are like the dirty, worn, wrinkled, leathery, scaled, or scarred test feet from many miles of trekking into places, into homes, with the good news of Christ Jesus. That could not be heard any other way. So let me bring that to a conclusion. As Christian, as God's people, we have a unique opportunity. We have the only message that gets a person from earth to heaven. It's a very simple message. Believe in Jesus, call upon his name, and trust him completely. Dear brothers and sisters, would you care to be a bringer? Amen.